Happy anniversary, everybody. Not from us. It's not ours. No, it's AEW Dynamite's 2-year anniversary. And oh, man, what a show. It was amazing. There may have been some cowboy shit. That's right. This is Total Spot Fest.
Hey, welcome to or welcome back to Total Spot Fest. This is JJ Brownlee. That is Jamie Faulkner. We are coming back to you with our anniversary show. Not our anniversary, Dynamite's anniversary. 2-year anniversary of Dynamite happened last night. And my, oh my, was there a lot to unpack. A whole lot. So we're going to delve all into it. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. If you're checking us out on YouTube, do us a big favor, hit the like button down below, drop a comment down there to join the conversation. If you are listening to us, you can join the conversation by giving us a tweet at Total Spot Fest on the Twitters. As always, follow us on our website as well. That's www.totalspotfest.com. Visit the merch table if you want. Get yourself a kick-ass heel shit shirt in honor of the Howlets. And make sure you wear it when you go see them on the 29th, because that is Journey Pro's next show. And you got tickets today, Jamie.
Yes, I did, sir. Yes, I did.
We weren't first in line, unfortunately. Our friend Bird Girl, what's up, Bird Girl? She was first in line, beat us by a smidge, but that's okay. We're all going to be there.
It's okay. It's okay. We're all there. That's all that matters.
You only show minor disappointment on your face there. Look at you.
I mean, if you're not first, you're last.
That's right. Well, hell no, I'd never say that. That's stupid. I would have said that when I was drunk.
Hell, son, I was on PCP.
That's what it was. Yes. Count on Jamie. Well, welcome to the Total Movie Quote Hour. Jamie's, yes. Jamie, you guys don't know this, but during work today, Jamie was on just movie quote bonanza. He was going off. He even had to make sure that he referenced that one of his quotes was not about a movie, but about the historical reference behind the movie, because he was just like rapid firing that shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, the funny thing is they were interwoven without me even thinking about the movie quote, but they came out just straight movie quote.
I know. It wasn't like our old meetings. Jamie used to do this thing where he'd purposely put in X number of movie quotes, and if you got them all right, you got a spiff. I can't remember what we did. You know, there's some sort of like pound the back or gold star, whatever it was. But
yeah,
now it's just second nature to him. He just throws them out there. So, we're going to get into Dynamite in just a minute, but I did see something else in the wrestling world that happened today. And I know you haven't seen this, but we talked last time about Women of Wrestling briefly. They are coming back. They had a press conference today announcing people, announcing future opponents. It includes Tessa Blanchard. The internet's not happy about that. We shared our comments last time, and I'm still standing by that. It's like she got to start at the bottom and prove herself. So give her a chance. Let her prove herself.
Yeah.
She fails on her face. Well, yeah, there you go. You get a second chance, but let's see what happens. But regardless, there was another personality who is officially a part of Women of Wrestling. And you don't know who this is, right?
No.
Okay. On color commentary, one of your favorites I know, AJ Mendez.
Really?
Yes. Back in wrestling, in a manner of speaking.
Interesting. Because she said she would never get into wrestling whatsoever, but doing commentary.
Commentary's adjacent.
Interesting. I mean, that's what her husband did, and look where he is now.
I mean, here's the thing. She has been, and for those of you who are unaware, AJ Mendez is AJ Lee, which is, you know, CM Punk's wife. She I can't remember who it was. If it was like a print interview or a podcast or whatever, but about, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, she had an interview where she really talked about how WWE broke her spirits. She was kind of like Bayley, you know, the story behind the girl that only wanted to be a wrestler ever since she was a little tyke, right? Finally got there and just broke her spirits, just, you know, emotionally demoralizing, you know, what she had to go through in WWE. I think that if she goes in on the right foot, she might make a cameo appearance every once in a while. Who knows, right?
I mean, that would be awesome.
That would be cool. But congratulations to Ashley, as her government name is. But AJ Mendez going to be in women's wrestling. So I think part of me thought, boy, is that the counterbalance? Because they know they're going to get heat for Tessa Blanchard. So if they get AJ, they'll be able to, like, counterbalance. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But no, it's going to be cool. So I just thought that was interesting. I thought you would enjoy that. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I actually do enjoy that. That's a good little nugget.
See, there you go. Yeah, I told him to hold off. I want to see his genuine response. So, all right, let's get into the meat of the matter here. So we have AEW Dynamite's second anniversary show to go. Jamie, why don't you just, because there's a lot to go. Let's just dive, like they did. Let's just dive right into it.
Yeah, oh, they did not disappoint. This was a hell of a show, top to bottom. It had lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of things in there, and I don't know how they packed it in 2 hours. I am amazed.
For sure. It felt like there was a lot more. I look at my clock, and I go, huh.
Yeah, it's already been 2 hours? Like, what happened? It's like, man, I felt like I was there forever. Like, it was that enthralling. So they start off in typical AEW fashion with a match. That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
Of course they do.
But not just any match. Oh no, we have the Super Elite going against Jurassic Express, Brian Danielson, and Christian Cage. And the big thing about it that I noticed right off the bat, they did just like their very first show, no entrance music, like on TV. They just got them both in there because they knew they were crunched for time. They did not have their entrances on TV.
Absolutely. Yeah, they did. They did them for the crowd ahead of time, but for us, no entrance for TV.
So I will just say this right away. That crowd was hot. H-O-T, hot. They were all over Kenny. Oh yeah, they were all over Kenny. Kenny No Balls chants were going. They had all sorts of stuff. It was insane. They went nuts for the kiss on the cheek by the Young Bucks on Adam Cole. Like, they just were in it to win it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great, great match. It had spots a go-go. Like, you name it, it's got it. Like, my highlight spot of the whole night is how they just basically killed Christian Cage. You know, a few months ago, I've been like, yay, but he's actually earned my respect again. I got mad respect for Christian.
Well,
so I was a little sad.
I do love that with Christian being the Impact champion. They have Bound for Glory coming up in 2 weeks. So they perfectly wrote him out in the best way. You know, they just murdered him on TV and it'd be undisclosed. It gives him the perfect out. So he's going to disappear, go to Vegas, do the Impact wrestling things, and masterful, really, when you think about it.
And he'll probably come back to a new feud. You know, because I don't know if him and the Bucks are, like, he's ready to do something different, pick on somebody different. You know who I'd really like to see him do something with? Brian Cage.
Okay.
Christian's like, very... No, against each
team,
other.
But, no. Oh, against each other. Oh. So see Christian go heel? Because I love heel Christian.
Same. Yeah, that's my thing. I love heel Christian. And, you know, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but if you watch the show, then you know exactly where I'm going with this. They could maybe use another heel. I mean, that's the thing. Like, yes, they have a ton, but what's one more? Really, guys?
In Jamie's book, there's never enough heels. Let's be honest.
That is true. Heels and tweeners, baby. Heels and tweeners. So anyway, this match had everything. It ends up actually with a 4-way BTE trigger on Jungle Boy to win it. And that looked awesome and devastating and beautiful and, like, doves were flying when it happened in the most heel way if possible, because it was just a thing of beauty. bam, Super Elite gets the dub. So that's match one, and it was a certified banger. Would I call it a five-star match? No.
Yeah.
I would give it a strong 3.5 to 4 in there. It was good.
I mean you had all the people in that doing all the things you expect them all to do, and they did them all wonderfully. Danielson looked great. You had Danielson versus Omega in that, you know, you had Adam Cole doing his Adam Cole things, you know, it just all the bits. You had the interference, you know, with the Young Bucks by, you know, Nakazawa and Cutler's Jungle Boy doing just stupid flippy spinny shit. So, I mean, you had all the things you wanted to see. So,
yep.
That's how you start the anniversary show. Give you all the highlights right from the start.
And ladies and gentlemen, if I could ask you to just put a pin in the Super Elite for just a little bit. Okay. We're going to put a pin in there because we got a lot to talk about when it comes to them. All right. So after this, John Moxley talks about the ladder match tonight. He just, you know, before Philly is his home base, you know, 3-month-old daughter, yada, yada, yada. Like typical Moxley promo. Okay. Then after that, CM Punk comes out. CM Punk gets the crowd just rolling. I loved how he's like, you guys are known for cheesecake or cheesesteak. Which one is it? You know, just giving him shit.
He talked about how you lived in Philadelphia for like 4 years. It was like, oh, come on. You actually did, but come on.
Yeah, yeah. He's doing the cheap pop. Like, he is straight up doing cheap pop left and right.
Absolutely.
Which is starting, I hate to say this again, starting to get a little old. And Jamie wants heel Punk back.
I told you. I said it's going to be a point where the honeymoon's going to wear off, and we got to see CM Punk as a staple, not just as a feature.
Yes, exactly.
I'm there, and you're getting there very fast. So
yeah. So all right. So then, basically, at this point, he calls out Daniel Garcia to fight him on Rampage in Philly. They've set that up. Boom. There you go. And then what he also did is he took off his Air Jordans that he has, because he bought his first ever pair of Air Jordans when he started working for AEW, mainly because of sneakerhead EVPs. And he took them off and gave them to a kid, the standing on the side, Orange Cassidy looking kid. Mm-hmm. I have no clue what that was about. I wonder if they're going to talk about that later. I assume there's something special with that kid, which again is a really damn cool moment to get freaking CM Punk shoes. Now, if I see them on eBay in about an hour or two, you know, whatever, but I doubt I will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. The next one, I had a lot of fun with the next one. I didn't think I was going to like it near as much as I did, and I enjoyed it. And that's Arn Anderson. He's burning a suit in a trash can. The Arn wants his tie from Cody. He slaps Cody in the face.
You're taking like some light speed jumps here. He's burning like the Nightmare Factory like track jacket in a trash can. And the camera pins back because the light goes on the building behind it. And the building behind it is Cody. He's burning in the backyard of Cody Rhodes' house at night in a trash can. The Nightmare. And so Cody's just shooting on him as he's walking down the stairs. What are you doing? You're breaking into my house. What is all this here? You know what you can do? Shoot me? And it's just like...
Yeah, which I love how they did the shoot me thing because of all the memes and everything for Arn. They did
it beautiful. Was great.
And then, like, Cody, you know, like, he wants the pink tie. He gets the tie, and Arn slaps him, and he throws the tie into the trash can. I really enjoyed that whole thing, because they're totally playing on the whole Arn gun thing and just, like, you know, saying you're basically, basically he's calling Cody a bitch, and it's just the best thing ever.
I mean, last week and this week, it could have been summed up with him just calling him a bitch. But no, they made it into, like, whatever the hell that was last week, and then this masterful follow-up, and it was masterful. I mean, at one point, Arn actually tells him, why don't you just paint a star on your face and everything will be okay? It's like...
Yep.
Oh, Arn,
so he's no longer Arn Anderson in my books. He is Armed Anderson.
It reminds me of the... Here's the thing. Arn Anderson was one of the just no good, dirtiest SOBs back in the 70s and 80s and early 90s. He was a dog. just a scoundrel of a fuck you type of wrestler, right? Mm-hmm. That was his persona. That's why he fit on the Four Horsemen so well.
Yo,
and some people might be shocked by this. This is the actual Arn Anderson. This is what he was in NWA way back in the day. So I love it. I think it's great.
Oh, me too. Me too. This is great because I think it's going to get... Hopefully he turns Cody heel because Cody needs to be heel, well, like we said. He needs to be Homelander.
You say that. There was an interview Cody Rhodes did. And I have it pulled up right in front of me here. That's why, yeah, boom, we got white. I got to get like a filter or something for my monitor. I got to get a new monitor working at just the brightness. Not going off topic here. So he did this interview here. And it's with Pop Culture. Because of the media push behind his TV show, Rose to the Top, right? Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So during it, he said there are two things he will never do. He will not go back on his word and challenge for the world title. And I appreciate that. I very much appreciate that. The other thing is, I am not turning heel. I'm telling this from, and here's what he said. This will disappoint so many, and maybe it won't. Maybe this will excite, but two things I can guarantee you, and I'm not saying this to wave one hand while you're not looking at the other. I'm telling this from the most honest standpoint. I am not going to turn heel on this company. I would retire before I did that. Now, I'm head of community outreach. I have a little girl at home. I'm not going to be doing heel stuff on TV. That's what he said. I don't
believe you.
He flat out said that he's not doing a swerve. And if you think he's doing a double swerve, cool.
Yes, but I think he's going to do the Homelander.
I agree. I agree. It's great stuff. I mean, shit. Moxie's got a 3-month-old little baby girl at home, and he's doing death matches against Nick Gage and shit. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not that big of a deal. Community outreach thing. Sure, cool. You can get around it. You can find a way around it. You know.
Yeah, but like if he does the Homelander, if he does the Homelander angle, Homelander doesn't think he's doing bad, and he is.
Exactly.
That's the angle. And I think that's his way, because he's going to say, I'm not heel, guys. I'm not a heel. And he's the biggest heel there is, because he says he's not. And that would make for great TV.
And no, not even that he says. He generally doesn't think he's not. He believes he's the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's convinced of it. That's the point. I'm with you there. So we'll see what happens. But that's what he officially said in an interview that came out today.
Yeah, so he's going to Homelander it. I'm calling it. Mark Stradamus is write that down. He's going to Homelander it. All right, so next we have the TNT Championship match between one Sammy Guevara and... Bobby Fish.
Which, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but in the graphics they show, they had one of Bobby Fish's wearing one of his t-shirts with the fishbone thing on it, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That's not a design you can buy on pro wrestling tees. And if you look at the shirt, it's got the little AEW thing on it right in the corner of the graphic.
I didn't notice that.
Somebody pointed it out on Twitter, and I looked at it again, and I go, that is correct.
Interesting. Well, Matt Cardona did that too when he showed up a couple times. He had a couple AEW shirts.
Thunder Rosa had an AEW branded shirt before she signed with AEW as well. Saying. We're not saying that he's going to be all elite, but just saying.
Yeah. So anyway, that's pretty cool. It was a good match. It was actually a lot of fun. I mean, you had all the moves you wanted to see. Like, again, Bobby Fish looks like Bobby Fish. If you've never watched Bobby Fish, one, shame on you, because that's when NXT was actually good. And then, you know, it was good. I mean, obviously we know who's going to win this match, and that was Sammy Guevara. He hit the GTH. Boom, 1, 2, 3. There you go.
Yep. Oh, he did buy Fuego a truck, by the way.
He did buy Fuego a truck.
Just FYI.
But here's the thing. It wasn't about the match. It was about... Oh. After the match, and that's when shit got crazy. So,
to say the least,
So after the match, America's Top Team comes out. I mean, Paige Van Zandt, who has pink hair all of a sudden and is rocking a whole bunch of pink and looked exquisite, actually. And then, you know, she hits the ring, distracts Sammy, and he gets attacked from behind. Scorpio Sky and
Junior Dos Santos.
Junior Dos Santos, thank you. I was like, I can't
Del
remember
Santos
his first.
I always fuck up his name.
Dos Santos.
I call him Dos Santos all the time. That doesn't make any sense. That's two Santoses.
Yeah.
I got one in Spanish.
So the American top team's out there. Fuego Del Sol comes out. He gets attacked too. Then here come Chris Jericho and Jake Hager. And Jericho kicks Junior Dos Santos out of the ring. And one of the things is it's America's top team with Scorpio Sky. Ethan Page was not there, ladies and gentlemen, because Ethan Page welcomed his baby boy into the world. Congratulations, one Ethan Page. We tweeted at him. We said eventually one day his son will have the tightest tits in wrestling just like him. And I'm happy for him. I love him on the mic, though. Like, I finally was able to watch his recent vlog that came out actually on Wednesday. It was really good. If you guys aren't watching Ethan Page's, give it a watch. It's really good because it shows his whole promo, and it is nuts. He is so good with a mic in his hand.
So good with the mic. And he is probably more than anybody, because Sammy is who Sammy is, right? Either way. Evil Uno is pretty much Evil Uno as it is. Allie or the Bunny. I know she's from Buffalo, but she's very much a cat. She's like a Valley girl. It's hilarious. I find it so funny, especially her interactions with Eddie Kingston. And of course, everybody knows about BTE, right? But Ethan's is the one because he is just such a good guy in real life. Like a genuine, just like the best neighbor person you'd want to have, right, on your block. He's just a good old guy, and I love his stuff. So congratulations to young or baby tits, or I'll think of something funnier to say later.
Yeah, because he called him CMC, so whatever that is. So he's the CMC Music Factory is what I would call him. So after this, The entire crowd starts singing Judas because Lambert hates, you know, Dan Lambert, my favorite heel manager at this point in time, hates on Philly. He just like rags on Philly. Then the Philly crowd went apeshit so loud you could not hear what Dan Lambert was even trying to say, which was the best thing ever. And even Jericho's like, I couldn't hear a word you just said. And I'm like, oh my God. So basically they're wanting to challenge the Inner Circle to a six-man tag, a trios match, if you will. He called it a six-man.
In Miami, his hometown.
His hometown in Miami of the Inner Circle versus the Men of the Year in Junior Dos Santos.
You know, like we said, they're gonna. We have a feeling that some of them are gonna start wrestling those American Top Team guys.
Paige VanZant will be in there. I guarantee it.
I don't doubt that. And because she's only doing bare knuckle, isn't that right?
Yeah, she's not in the UFC anymore.
She's only doing a bare knuckle, which is whatever. And he kept hyping up. So during when the crowd was going off, because he grabbed a mic and cut off Judas, which. Wrong move for a Philly crowd because he cut it off right at the beginning of the refrain. And I'm like, oh, you're fucked. And they just went to town. And he kept hyping up Masvidal.
Yeah.
And kept going back to it. And I'm like, they got to be pumping Masvidal up for at least a series of matches in AEW. It sounds like it.
Well, I doubt it because he is he's a UFC BMF champion right now.
Oh, he is. I follow hardly any Ultimate Fighting. So
yeah, like fighting, when they started adding all these extra belts and stuff. No, he's a badass. He is a bad motherfucker. BMF.
Cross promotion. I mean, you said Tony Khan and Dana White are buds. So yep. Okay, cool.
True story. All right, so after this big announcement, Tony Khan's major announcement, which funny.
Acclaim versus Lucha Bros on Friday for the tag titles.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, they had that quick little Acclaim. They spit fire. God, I love the Acclaim. So Rampage is already getting stacked. We have CM Punk versus Daniel Garcia.
Matches.
You have the Lucha Bros going against the Acclaimed. as much as I'm this guy, but I'm really into this too right now. So definitely Sierra Miedo. But anyway, so we come back from the break. The big announcement from Tony Khan, which is not actually Tony Khan. It's Tony Schiavone.
Yeah, so close Tony enough. Tony Khan, he said before, and he's got some anxiety things. He's well documented, but he said before he doesn't want to be an on-screen character.
Yeah, he only shows up
adamant about that. So whenever he has an announcement, it's going to be through his mouthpiece, which is, you know, figuratively mouthpiece of Tony Schiavone. Yes. It's fine. It's cool.
So they come back. Tony talks about, you know, the move to TBS and everything like that. And they have a new championship. And this championship is going to be in the AEW women's division, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, they introduced the TBS women's championship. And there will be a tournament to determine the first champ. And there are already some big names that have already staked a claim to
starting in January, by the way.
Yes, starting in January. So it's got a while because that's when they moved to TBS.
Surprise, surprise, right?
I'm like, why are you announcing it in October when you're going to start actually have the tournament in January? You should start the tournament now and then have the finals on the first AEW Dynamite on TBS.
I agree with you 1,000%. Yes.
But hey, whatever. So far, Thunder Rosa.
Yeah. Later on, there's like a series of promo they did, but go for it.
So I'm just going to cut to those promos real quick.
That's fine. We'll talk about the belt in a second.
Yeah. The belt's beautiful, actually. So Thunder Rosa, you have Jade Cargill, and you had,
Ruby Soho,
yes, and Blue Sky.
Sky Blue,
whatever, damn it, whatever. Sky Blue.
Who got her first win in AEW on this week's Dark.
Yes. Against Maddie Rinkowski. Yeah, Maddie Rinkowski.
Who looked really good, by the way. Maddie Rinkowski. I'm more impressed with her every time I see her, to be honest with you. She's like Thunder Rosa's little protege. She's been getting trained by her for a while, and she did this like scissor kick that just was sick.
So, as you know, too, speaking of Sky Blue, they usually don't have people who aren't in the company winning matches.
I mean, you're not wrong.
And they definitely don't have them cutting promos unless they were Thunder Rosa. Like, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
I could see Sky Blue being all elite imminently, and I'd be totally cool with that. Because I like Sky Blue.
I think if they did, until they get that second title out there and start doing, there's even a sign in like the fourth row that was just said second women's match. Loved it. But periodically popped his face during the show. Until they get to that point, I think you're going to see, yes, probably signed, but signed in the manner of Diamante. Diamante never got an All Elite graphic. I went back and double checked after we talked about it.
Yeah, she's never had one.
Yeah, she still hasn't. Although she has signed a deal with them. Or Kiera Hogan, that is. No, sorry. Not Diamante. Diamante should be All Elite, god damn it. But Kiera Hogan. Kiera Hogan never got a Kiera Hogan's All Elite graphic. She signed basically what's a per match deal. So, which is kind of the same thing that a lot of the other. There's a good number of men and women that have that on the roster. Not everybody is a straight salaried, right? Yeah. So, which is cool. It's fine. It's whatever. I imagine that's what they're going to do. Sky Blue got the, remember, she got the bonus entrant into the Battle Royal at All
Out. Yeah, and she
all
was
out.
The first one eliminated.
She was. It was a hometown girl from Joliet. I don't know. I don't doubt that. I think though that they need to just. I still say they need to put more focus. You know, gotta do. I understand nights like tonight. We got a lot of big things going on. Cool. Mm-hmm. It needs to be two women's matches though on Dynamite. You can do it.
I agree. And you know who I would love to see as a entrant into this tournament?
Sure, let's fantasy book for a hot minute. Do it.
Let's fantasy book. Okay. So obviously, since they're putting some big names on there, and I appreciate that. I could see Jamie Hayter and them also going for it because then it could be part of her, you know, of Britt's stable. But I would really, really, really love to see Maki Ito in this tournament.
You and me both. And if it's not until January, she got plenty of time to iron out stuff. Although she's getting real over in her promotion right now.
Yeah, because she's like
real over.
Big. Yeah, well, it honestly helped her be on AEW to get her over.
1,000%. Yes,
and,
you
and
are not wrong.
And the people in the United States loving her. I think that also helped. Like, we love her. I'm a part of the simp army. I don't even care. I'm married. Whatever. I think she's amazing. I think her whole presence and shtick, everything. Yes, sign me up for that.
I would love Maki Ito. I mean, we're gonna get to see some of the, I think we're gonna see at least a 16 woman tournament. I think we'll get to, you know, they showed the four there, so we know those four are gonna be featured. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever. You're right. You're probably gonna get like maybe not a Rebel, but maybe Jamie Hayter. Sure, Statlander probably. Right.
Yep. Nyla Rose, yes.
Nyla Rose, Diamante, Swole,
Anna Jay.
I think Anna Jay. Ty Conti's already been on Twitter going all over it. You know, I think, and you got some openings there. I mean, there was later on tonight, there was a match we'll talk about between Sheeta and Serena Deeb. So those are two more. You know, at the end of the day, you got to keep somebody around to be feuding with Britt. Or you just put it on the back burner until you get this decided. Because she cut a promo later on, Britt did. Now, we're not staying in order. It doesn't matter. She cut a promo later on where she's like, thank God, I am happy. I am ecstatic. Now all you bitches can have something to occupy yourselves with while I'm sitting here at the top of the food chain. And
yeah, it was so good. It was so great.
It was classic Britt Baker, but that's the point. You know, it's like, I think that might just put her on the back burner for a little bit too, while, you know, they do some of that. I mean, they've got the women, and I could definitely see, do you think, how about this, do you think they'll have any, I put Maki Ito in this classification now because she's not in All Elite, you know, mm-hmm. wrestling.
Yeah,
do you think they're going to bring in anybody from outside as well? Do you think they're going to bring in, you know, somebody from Impact or somebody from Japan or, you know, something like that?
They might bring in the light of my life, the, you know, somebody that I would consider my inspiration.
We still don't know where they're gonna end up going. They still haven't announced their in-ring return. Just been doing a lot of signings.
Yeah, and lots and lots of photography.
Oh my God. And wow. And merch now.
Yes.
I love Jesse McKay's You Gotta Be Joking Me shirt, though.
Yes, yes.
I almost bought it, even though it's another damn black shirt. It was like,
I know.
If it was pink, I'd buy it, you know, if it wasn't black.
Yeah, or it could be white, it could be red, it could be green, it could be blue, it could be any color other than black. Like, black. I'm just over black
as we
t-shirts.
Both sit here wearing black wrestling
t-shirts. I know. Like, hi, I'm a hypocrite. Hi, hypocrite, table for two. Hey. All right, so let's get back to it. So now,
so talk about the belt, because they unveiled the belt too. Now, just real fast, the belt is basically a playoff. It's almost the exact same, but just a smidge smaller than the TNT belt. But it's the same design.
Yep.
Black strap, same design. It's got the TBS logo, of course, rather than the TNT logo. It doesn't have. See, now I think. The TNT, and I wonder if they're going to do this with the women, by the way, too. But the blingy TNT titles, because I found out why. I didn't really put two and two together, and it hit me like a ton of bricks on Sammy Guevara's vlog, is that he always wears rhinestones in all his stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why he's got all the bling on it, because it's rhinestone. So they are definitely customizing the TNT for each champion as it goes along here. I wonder if they'll do that for the women. We'll have to see. But as it stands right now, it's got the TBS logo, smidge smaller, but practically the same size as the TNT title. And it's got a baby blue in the ribbon that says champion. Looks really good.
It's really pretty. Yeah. I think
it's actually bigger than the women's world title, honestly.
Okay. I was about to say that too. Because when I saw it, I'm like, oh, that's bigger than the regular one. It's definitely bigger than the first one, the little baby belt. It's a baby belt.
Shit, our little toy belts are bigger than the first one, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, so. the one up there, I don't know if you can see it in the screen, but yeah, my AEW toy belt right there is bigger.
Yeah. I think it's just barely because of the crop. I think you get to see just barely. It's up there, trust us. Anyway.
It's a smidge. All right, So after this, we get earlier in the day, JR sitting with Darby Allin. He mentions the heinous words of MJF last week, and you know, JR brings up the face paint, and Darby retells the whole story about why he paints his face, and he was in the car and his uncle died from drunk driving, and
half of him is dead inside, and blah blah blah. And it's just like, I don't know, this not until later in the episode does this mean anything to me.
100%. So we're gonna put a pin in that, because you're absolutely right. Because at first I'm like, okay. Like, I literally had the okay. Like, okay.
Did you just confirm the promo that happened last week? Good for you.
Why yeah.
Well.
So, right after that, you had Darby Allin versus Nick Camarado with the factory with him. The regular factory. That's QT Marshall's team. It sucked. I'm sorry. I want to say
this is the dud of the night. And Camarado had a couple good moves in there. But it was a squash match from the get-go.
And what, okay, so can we just all, like, talk about the elephant in the room that Nick Camarado is basically a hairy Ultimate Warrior? Like, the way he acts and his mannerisms basically, are very Ultimate Warrior. Like, he's even got the little, the danglies off around his bicep.
He's got the arm things. He's got the giant, like, jacket thing, which is Warrior. I mean...
And he shakes his head like crazy all the time, just like Warrior. I'm like, dude, come on.
I never put two and two together until you just said that, but you're 1,000% correct. And it kills me because Ultimate Warrior was my favorite when I was a kid. Back in the 80s.
Yeah. No, I loved Ultimate Warrior.
Back in the 80s, he was great. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he is talented. We have said this before. We both like Nick Camarado as a wrestler.
Yes. Okay.
He's got the size. He's got a good look on him. You know, you can package him in different things or whatever. Like if you put him in something similar to like the Luke Harper version of Brody Lee, something like that, you know, or like a Brooklyn Brawler style or something, you know, yeah, he could play that off 1,000%, right? Just some crazy deranged lunatic bitch. A bit you can do an old school like Abyss thing, you know, of a silent monster because he doesn't say shit, you know. Yeah, I think any of those are better than this Warrior ripoff thing because it just doesn't make any sense.
So the only problem I have with him like doing the lunatic thing is honestly they already have that right now. And
you're not wrong, but Moxley, yeah,
you know,
I'm just throwing out examples since this is Fantasy Booking Island, this whole our show apparently. There's so many better versions of him you could do in it that would instead of whatever this mishmash of almost Ultimate Warrior is.
Yeah. So Darby Allin wins with a coffin drop, shocker. After the match, though, QT hits a diamond cutter, or a Marshall cutter, if you will, on Sting. Sting pops right up, like no sells the shit out of
him. No sell like a motherfucker.
Yeah, and then he hits a scorpion death drop. Sends the Philly crowd home happy, you know, like, hey, I'm gonna do my thing.
This whole match did nothing, really, honestly.
Yeah, then after this, they had a nice little Dark Order bit. And again, we need to put a pin in them. But this thing was really nice. Looks like the decision making for the Dark Order is going to be determined by a voting system as a family. Alex Reynolds is the one who brought that up because, again, Evil Uno was very apologetic for being a dick, basically. And it says he's doing that. And then Anna Jay doing her Anna Jay stuff when they start bickering. It was great.
Oh, she's the mama for sure.
Yes, she's the mom. So, really nice set. We're going to put a pin in them. So after this, though, I got goosebumps for this one just a little bit.
Would you call this the promo of the night coming up here?
This is
the way it transpired.
The way it transpired, 100% promo of the night. Like, the most real legit promo of the night was probably Dan Lambert and Jericho just because of the crowd interaction and the heat he got. But this one was, like, the best story.
Right, and technically the Tony, you know, the TBS title was a promo of sorts, but
I guess
it's an announcement or whatever. This promo, let's get into this because I have a bunch to say. I'm not going to say it all right now either.
Okay, so Dante Martin, ladies and gentlemen, yes, Dante Martin is a part of the promo of the night. He's with Mr. Tony Schiavone, and he issues an open challenge. And he's gone to toe head to he's gone toe to toe with Omega, and he's done with everybody, and he anybody in the locker room, lights go out. Crowd erupts as soon as that happens. The crowd's like, "Oh my god!"
They have an idea. They think they.
And then spotlight right behind Dante Martin is none other than our favorite badass scary guy Malakai Black. He slowly takes off his mask, hits a black mass,
black lights, mist, and then black mass.
Mist. Sorry, yeah, black mist into a black mass. Lights go out. Dante Martin's no longer in the ring. All the lights turn back on. Malakai Black's got a microphone in his hand, and he just says this very simple: "The so, House so of Black accepts." That's it.
And then death metal. Slow walk out.
Yes.
And fucking tastic.
Whew.
And it only really is, honestly, God, it really is the promo of the night because of what happens in a little bit. Pin. Put a pin in this too. Lots of pins tonight we got to pull.
Okay. So next we have Ricky Starks just talking about the OG FDW championship, and then out comes Brian Cage to beat him up. There you go.
They're going to do a Philly Street Fight on Friday.
Yes, on Rampage.
Four matches on Rampage, by the way. They announced a Jade Cargill versus Sky Blue, and they're going to have Philly Street Fight. We've got the tag team title match and CM Punk versus Mr. Rampage Daniel Garcia. So
yes,
hey,
yes,
four matches in an hour, let's go.
So then we have our one women's match of the night next, and it is Kairo Shida versus Serena Deeb. If Kairo Shida wins, she gets her 50th singles win, or 50th win in AEW. She'd only be the second person to accomplish said feat, first woman to accomplish the feat. This match, Serena Deeb is amazing. She's a very good technical wrestler. Serena Malenko. She is absolutely...
the woman of a thousand holds, that's right.
It was a really, really great match. And it definitely ended completely different than I was expecting.
Me too. Now, before the match, they come out and they Justin Roberts says, because if Kairo Shida wins, blah, blah, blah. And Aubrey Edwards sitting there with one of those, like, awards you get from like the office. Like, me and Jamie have these things, those little like acrylic like things, you know, that have your name etched on them, you know, yeah, for most improved teammate of the year bullshit or whatever, right? You know, and it says, you know, first woman to get 50 wins to Kairo Shida, you know, and I'm just like, that's bad luck, don't you think? That's interesting. And they put it on, they put this thing on a pedestal next to the entrance ramp on the way to the ring. So I was suspicious about this match from the start.
I mean, what is up with this pedestal thing? And why do they always say I put it on a pedestal?
I don't know. So, but to your point, go back to the match, because yeah, I just want to lay the groundwork, because I have thoughts as the match is going along here. Because you think, for sure, as much as they hype this up, she's got to win, right? But what does AEW like to do?
Yes.
Turn it around.
Totally got us going. So so we'll go towards the end. Falcon Arrow, Deeb kicks out again from it because she got it. Then Serena Deeb rakes her eyes. I don't know if you caught that. And then hits an inverted dragon screw. Deeb, 1-2. Oh, no. But then she gets her in her serenity lock. # Canadian Maple Leaf. Just a single leg crab. And Shida tapped out.
I know. She was working on the knee the whole night, too.
Yeah. Oh.
Keeping continuity. And she before she got the serenity lock all the way locked in, she banged on the knee a little bit more. And then put it in very, very aggressively. And then put it in and she tapped. Nice for the 50th win.
Yeah. So, again, we saw this before. Serena was hurt again. That she was turning heel. And we got the full confirmation of super heel turn. Because right after this, she nails Shida in the head with the 50 wins trophy, and then she slams it down and breaks it and walks out. So she is full on heel now. Serena Malenko, the woman of a thousand holds, is in fact a heel. It's going to take a woman of a thousand and four holds to beat her, ladies and gentlemen. And I think that will end up, in fact, be one Hikaru Shida getting it by the, via the Lion Tamer. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Hikaru Shida will do the Lion Tamer. No, she won't.
She's not going to do the Lion Tamer. Maybe if you tweet at her, tell her to do a Lion Tamer.
Yes. Yes.
That'd be well, cool. Here's an interesting thing, because it sets up some stuff, because we talked a smidgen about the women's division before, right? And they got some time to kill before they start this tournament, apparently, right?
Yeah.
Well, they've been kind of laying some groundwork for some things. This whole thing, when you look back on it, this was a giant setup the whole time, right? Mm-hmm. They kept talking about 50th win, had all these promos, all this stuff. They had a trophy made that presented, basically presented before the match started, the trophy for the victory, you know, so we should have known. You know, and then Ruby Soho, hey Ruby, has been talking about how, you know, now, you know, she's going to work her way back up. And people are like, well, who do you want to face? Who do you want to face? She said, well, I like this, and there's this, and then she keeps going back to Serena Deeb. Well, they flipped Deeb now officially heel, so that makes sense, because Ruby's face, so you've got that going on for you. You know, they're bringing in Sky Blue, and let's see if Jay could do anything but a squash match on Friday, or if they just, you know, have her squash Sky. That'll give us an indication if she's going to be more, I mean, to your point, yes, she did a promo on the anniversary Dynamite. That's not a little thing.
And yeah, I agree. So after this, let's take the pin out of Darby Allin for just a hot sec.
Boop.
Okay. And Darby Allin's in the back. And Alex Marvez informs him that MJF wants to challenge him to a match next week. And of course, Darby accepts without hesitation. A big limo pulls up and Darby is ready to fight. and then out of nowhere, he gets smacked in a chair from behind and a guy in a ski mask is like this. And it looks a lot like one Sean Spears, but we digress. And then it's at that point, a slew of men attack him.
The pinnacle is in ski masks. And it's
okay.
Not
come
very...
on. You're not. Okay, fine. Yes, it's the pinnacle.
The big one did an F10 on him. So, I mean, yeah. Come on.
Yeah, so we know it is. And then
They did murder him pretty well. Talk about that.
They did. So they threw him into the wall. Or into into the stop sign, like straight lawn darted him, and then they set up the guardrails or the bike rail things on the ground, and then Wardlow or big assailant number four did a giant F10 right onto those, and it just looked nasty. And then here comes out MJF, he chokes Darby with a skateboard before walking off. I thought that was really nice.
Yep.
Adding and again,
of course,
the continuity.
All the heat from the announcers then afterwards. And then Tony Schiavone just going to town MJF. I love it.
Yes, yes, yes. After this, Leo Rush has a proposal for Dante Martin. Maybe he needs to...
another pin. Boop. All right, got to pull that pin out too.
Okay, so Leo Rush has a proposal for Dante Martin. Maybe he needs to rinse Rush and repeat. How about he has his people call him?
Okay, so as soon as Rush started with his promo mentioning Dante Martin, started going to it, I immediately got the tingly feelings, because I'm like, oh, I know we've talked in the past, too many factions in AEW, right, whatever, but I don't care. If you align Top Flight, which his brother's, Martin's brother's close to coming back, right? He's actually touring with them now. But take Top Flight, Dante Martin and his brother, with Leo Rush together. Holy shit. I mean, team flippy spinny shit. I mean,
I mean, what do you call it? Yeah, like, you already have the elite. Like, they are the excellence of execution. They're excellence.
You know, if you're setting up for a trios title in the future, which is still rumored to be coming along, that's a team I want to see. And I like it, too, because it... it pulls Leo in without doing the classic trope of pulling somebody in, putting into a title picture to start. I know they've done that with a couple people already, my girl Ruby included, right? So I like this. I like this a lot. And I think it says wonders about Dante Martin, because we underestimated them maybe when we first saw Top Flight on Dark a year and a half ago, right? Everyone's like, oh, look at these young kids, whatever. And then it's like, oh, wait, no. Look at these kids. Holy shit. Yeah. And Dante just gone up from there. So I love every bit about this. I thought this was fantastic. And it's part two of that Dante Martin-ness of the night. So that
was my thought. Yeah. I mean, we all know that AEW is the place to be for tag team wrestling. And the thing is, it has no breaks. Like, it's all gas, no breaks. Because the top of the food chain is stacked. The middle of the food chain is stacked. The bottom of the food chain is stacked. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, the young tag teams they have, Acclaimed, Top Flight, hell, the Varsity Blondes, which, by the way, Brian Pillman cut off his mullet, and I don't know how I feel about that. Yeah, he cut his mullet off.
I did not see that. That's not even... Come on, man. Gimmick infringement, dude. What are you doing?
It gone. You know? And wow. You have a lot of these young
teams. You even got the ones that are, the Hybrid 2, right? They're really underrated. You know, we haven't even talked about Private Party, who's amazing. And then, you know, you even got down to Bear Country. And, you know, you have such vast, the best tag division in all of wrestling. Because,
And then you add Leo Rush to help guide Top Flight. Please.
It's when you break it down that far that the argument for the trios title really does come to fruition, because, you got a ton of tag teams. How many tag team champions have there been?
Four.
SCU, Hangman and Omega, FTR, Young Bucks, Lucha Brothers. Five.
Five. Yeah, that's it. And if they introduce the trios, that opens up a world like we've never seen. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, if we see something that we're going to talk about happen and then tag team champions go there.
We'll talk about that. But it opens up like for 2.0 and Daniel Garcia. Boom, there's you got a trio contender right there. You know, you got Leo Rush with Top Flight. Boom, there's one right there. You got all these other ones. You know, you can have the... so many more options for these guys who are kind of basically either years away from contending just because of the card of where it is, or going to be stuck in middle of the road land every time. So
yeah,
I'm more for it now. I really am.
So after this is the Britt Baker piece, which you just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All the bitches can, who claim her in the back. I love that. I love that whole line. All right. So after this is the main event.
Let's go.
It was a main event and a half, ladies and gentlemen. It was really good. And it was not near as long as it should have been, because they were short on time. Wow. I think it started at here in Kansas City.
They were doing the second intro, the second entrant at about 20 till the hour.
So the first two to start off was Orange Cassidy and Pac. They did their usual thing. Those two know each other very well. They played off each other very nicely. Out next was Andrade El Idolo, which him and Pac have some beef. And those two start going at it. It was really good there. There was a Andrade. He goes for the wrong sunset flip.
They're on the ladder.
They're on the ladder.
Andrade goes up the other bit ladder.
Power bomb.
Yeah. And it's like he could have gone and got. So he actually points at the coin and goes no, 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 and then points at Pac, and then does a sunset flip over the ladder into a power bomb.
It was sick. Yes. So I know I'm a big move guy. That was my favorite move, probably the whole thing, just to be honest.
Okay.
After that, one Matt Hardy of the Hardy Family Office comes out, the owner and operator of the Hardy Family Office. He comes out and he does some offense, and we go to a break, and when we get back, Lance Archer's in there. Yay, Lance Archer. And he
murdering
starts,
people.
He's
murdering.
Love me some Lance Archer. So then after that, Moxley comes out, and Moxley and Archer go at it instantly. Those two have the beef, and they just get after it. They get into the crowd. They just go nuts and everything like that. And then it's Joker time. And, you know, there's a lot of things in this world I hate, and one of them is definitely not being right. And I was absolutely right. Mark Sergama strikes again. It's the worst kept secret.
We were both right. Don't try and claim all this credit here.
Well,
okay?
I'm just saying it's the worst kept secret in all of wrestling that this was going to happen. And both
Jamie and I talked earlier today, because if you haven't watched our last episode, go check it out. But our last episode, we talked about this: who's the Joker going to be, and who do you think is going to be? And then if it's not who we thought it was going to be, we both thought it was going to be Hangman. If it's not going to be that, who do you think it's going to be? And Jamie started saying everything else would be a disappointment, with one exception, and that was Ospreay. And I'm like, so he was very adamant that, you know, it needed to be one way or else.
Yeah, it was Hangman or we riot.
And thankfully, we didn't.
We're
riot.
Not rioting. We're not rioting so. Whatsoever. Here comes out Adam Hangman Page, and that's when shit got really crazy, because then it became a total spot fest. You had
Was this the best ladder match, do you think, in AEW? There's only been a handful,
no.
I know.
Not even close.
Not in AEW.
Not even close.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a second.
I mean, I just gotta bring up one.
Escalar de la Muerte. I was thinking about all the other, like, multiple person.
Maybe the best on TV. I'll give you that.
I think if you remove Escalar de la Muerte, because it was a tag team on a tag team, you know, ladder match. All the other, like, ladder matches they've had, they've all been on pay-per-views, all been casino ladder matches or the brass ring or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
The hell
the
they
Sonic
put up
ring
there, right?
Yeah, I mean, that Sonic one was ring. An amazing match. I have to say that one was
that
amazing
one was
match.
Great. The one where Cage debuted and broke Darby
Ripped
Allen in half.
Yeah,
was cool.
I think
this was better than either of those. I think that's what I was trying to get at.
Oh, I think the Face of the Revolution one was probably the second best.
Okay.
But definitely the Escalar. Yeah. But anyway, so this match has, at this point, is legit Spotfest City. Archer gets hit with a buckshot lariat. And here, like, every time you think Hangman's just going to get up there, here fucking comes Moxley with a chair or something and just, like, gets in there and interferes. And then finally, Moxley hits Hangman on the back with a chair, but he stays on the ladder, and then Moxley comes up. Here comes Hangman coming too. They just start hitting each other's heart, you know, like doing the top of the ladder thing, and out of nowhere, Moxley falls off.
Yep.
And Adam Hangman Page is all by himself. He goes up two steps, grabs that poker chip, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, Adam Hangman Page is your winner. And yes, will 100% get a shot at the AEW World Heavyweight Champion, Kenny No Balls Omega.
Probably at Full Gear.
Better be at Full Gear.
More than likely going to be at Full Gear. I don't know why they wouldn't do it at Full Gear. A couple of notes on Hangman. I love, because they used to do this for a bunch of people all the time, and they really don't do it as much anymore. In their intro bar on the bottom of the screen, the top third of it, they have like their record or something listed up there. Yeah. And they used to do a bunch of like funny quotes and different things and all this stuff. And the one they've been consistent with throughout everything has always been Hangman. He always has funny stuff. It's probably drunk, or, you know, it's like lost his pants or, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
so his one tonight was finally showed up to work.
Nice. So good.
Which is a reference later on that he gets into. My move of the night, actually, in this match was the dead eye off of a ladder through a table.
That was a sick. Okay. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Was, they did that, and they immediately followed that up with on the outside, Matt Hardy, no rookie two ladder matches, of course, putting Orange Cassidy on a table outside and then doing his going up on a ladder on the outside and doing his typical leg drop, leg drop through him. That looked good. Just back to back.
Yeah. The version one leg drop.
Yep. The dead eye through the table was amazing. It was so good.
I agree. So that was your show. I will let you talk about the first commercial break of Rhodes on Top or whatever it's called.
Which, here's the thing. I understand. I get the point. Okay. This is what they call a tie-in. This is how you do it. You know, you want people, you want to have a lead in to, you want to have a show be led into, you got to have, keep that audience somehow. And so what they're doing is they're doing reactions, some sort of follow-up, interview video thing, segment during the first commercial break. Okay. I get it. Don't love it, but I get it. Okay. So they did that. And it's Tony Schiavone backstage with Hangman Page in the locker room with the poker chip and a bunch of beer.
Yes.
And so he's going to town there, and he goes, "You won back. Good to see you. You know, we haven't seen you in a while." And Hangman goes, yeah. Well, I used up all my PTO, so I had to come back. And I loved that. Then he actually no-shoots, "Hey, I had a baby." He pulls out his phone and shows Tony the baby, his baby pictures, his son. So congratulations to Hangman Page here. But AEW wrestling families had two baby girls and two baby boys in the last 6 months, right?
Yeah, they're all gonna end up growing up with each other and end up getting married. You watch it.
Oh yeah, you'll have Paige's son marry Moxie's daughter, and you'll have Ego's son marry Rhodes's daughter. It'll be a thing, whatever. So then, and Tony keeps pushing him, trying to push him back to the matter at hand. Hey, you got to get this title. What do you think about the title? It sounds Kenny Omega. And he's like, I just got here. I still, I'm still first day back. Let me unpack this. He goes, well, what about this? He's like, because the Hangman's got the Elite behind him, and they have Adam Cole now. And Hangman goes, oh, really? Cole's back? Beating back to life.
Yeah.
So continuity, I love it. But yeah, it's like Cole and Young Bucks and all this stuff. It's like, are you gonna rekindle your friendship with the Dark Order or whatever? And Hangman basically lays it out that yes, I've got some people to talk to, I've got some scores to settle and some things to make up for. Let me enjoy this. I'm gonna enjoy a couple beers. I'm gonna celebrate this, and he's gonna get to that. So full gear is what it looks like. Will he be the leader of the Dark Order by then or ever? I don't know. Especially with the way they're doing the Dark Order now, they don't necessarily need to. But I feel if he's going to take the title off of Moxley, you need the Dark Order to be the counterbalance to the Elite at some point. Maybe not during the match, but at some point close to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Hangman's back. He's number one contender.
So good. I'm so happy. And okay, so before we unpin the Dark Order and the Super Elite, I feel like we should rate the show before we start really diving into that. So I'm going to give the show a spot fest. It was not a total spot fest for me just because of some of the little things, and there's just a lot going on, and it was really good. But I give it a spot fest.
I'm actually going to give it a spot fest as well. I think that everything, and like we said, they crammed a lot into 2 hours. And because of that, it felt like a lot more. It felt like a big deal, like an anniversary show should feel, right? So, yeah. Plus you got the big reveal coming back. You had a really good women's match. Could have used a second one. The opener was a banger. Lots of good setup. You had, things they're building for the future, leaps and bounds where they were 2 years ago, where it was just like spot fest, match-wise, right? Match. But at the end of the day, I don't think it garnishes a total spot fest. It wasn't like a amazeballs, drop your socks off show, but it was probably one of the better all-around shows in, you know, I've seen in a while from AEW.
Yeah, no, it was really solid. That's the thing. They've been pumping out solid show after solid show after solid show. They have not let off the gas. And, you know, they've had a couple amazing shows recently. This one was not a disappointment either. Like, I've yet to watch one of their shows and feel disappointed basically since they've been back on the road.
Yeah, let's say it's been a while, you know, where they've had a meh show, you know?
Which is great, because, I mean, the other company, the Juggernaut, that's basically what they deal in. Yeah, meh.
I mean, they basically made their NXT product a meh product.
Oh, goodness. I mean, the only thing that thing's got going for it's Mandy Rose right now. Let's just be real. I mean, and that's not being sexist, ladies and gentlemen. She is just a knockout on that show. And yes, like, just admire, okay? Anyway, so now let's take out the pins of the Super Elite and the Dark Order, okay?
Yep, last two pins. Let's get to it.
Okay, so I feel like being the Elite on Monday is going to be bonkers. And they're going to build, because if you remember, Adam Cole didn't know that Hangman wasn't a part of the Elite anymore when he first came back. I feel like that's going to play out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the Dark Order. Like, I really want to see how this all unveils in the Dark Order, and that all happens on being the Elite. So, I ask you, sir, now that Hangman is officially back in the fold for a title shot, what are they going to do with the rest of the Elite? And what are they going to do with Bryan Danielson?
Well, that's a great question, especially the second part of that. That's not something you really consider, because you tend to unintentionally bury Bryan Danielson in your brain if you start thinking about Dark Order, Elite, fancy booking, right? At least I do. So, we've made mention of this before. And I'm just going to lay it all out there as my Mark Stradamus Jr. position, okay? That the goal is to get to the point when Steen's available, Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen, to have them turn on Kenny. You have the Mount Rushmore back together.
Yep.
That gives them their own world to live in, where they don't have to get in the middle of title pictures or messing with any other, you know, main talent and all this stuff. Here, they can more or less live in their own world and feel their own thing. It's good for them, good for the company, good for everybody.
Yeah,
that I think is the short term end goal. Okay, step one to that is taking the belt off Kenny. You do that with Hangman. We've talked about this ad nauseum. It's been 2 years now in the books, this kind of long-term story, right, for Hangman to ascend to be the face of the company. He's there. The crowd went apeshit with Cowboy Shit Chance. I mean, he is definitely there. So you should not feel bad at all. Take the belt off Kenny, right? What does this do, though, as far as the booking for the Elite and for Danielson? Well, I think in the short term, because you got about a month or so until full gear, you can keep feuding Danielson with Omega and the Bucks. For one, it keeps him busy, it keeps them busy, and you don't necessarily need to rush and Rampage or next week's Dynamite, which, by the way, is a Saturday Dynamite. FYI, we'll talk about that in a minute. You don't need to rush him to be in the middle of this and immediately come out top of Dynamite, challenge Kenny Omega at full gear, and let's build this for the next 5 weeks. That's not what AEW does. I think that you're going to have is you need to get Omega or not Omega. You need to get Paige to a spot where he can have the Dark Order behind him comfortably. Him just being there is going to cause some friction because he left. And they're all good together now. But remember, He specifically told them he did not want them to help him. Period. End of sentence.
Yeah.
There's going to be some friction there with that. And I think you can let that develop over a few weeks, and then you get to the point where he then gets the confidence to pull the card on Kenny Omega, challenge him for this. So you can kind of like dangle it, but for the meanwhile, you keep the focus Danielson versus the Elite, along with Jurassic Express, whatever. That keeps the Young Bucks busy as well. And then, where do we go from there? Well, I think that you got to have some way for the Dark Order to get involved with this. So they did a little bit of this before, but you know, having the Dark Order be the ones that come and back up Danielson, I think would be a better way to go. What about you? Because you're right. There's a lot of layers in this. The Danielson thing, especially with how good it is, and we know that that's what's going to happen after Hangman, right?
Yeah.
Where would you go with this? How would you do this with this extra wrinkle of the amazing Bryan Danielson?
So I think something happened in the beginning of the show that is really going to help this storyline as a whole.
Okay, go for it.
And that was the elimination of Christian Cage.
That was the, you know, we said it was for Bound for Glory, but maybe yeah, more.
I feel like
you talked about him coming back, not being in this anymore.
Yes. So I think this sets up a perfect opportunity. So basically at this point, you have Jurassic Express and Bryan Danielson versus the Elite, who have four people, right?
Six, so, if you count the Good Brothers.
Yeah, we don't. So you have these four. If you just slide everybody just a little bit, and you have the Bucks going against Jurassic Express,
mm-hmm.
and you have Adam Cole and Bryan Danielson going at it.
Right.
That leaves the Omega Hangman as a separate entity, because that's where we are going to be. Because you know as well as I do, on Saturday night next week, freaking Kenny is going to go nuts about this and cut
with Don Callis. Yeah.
With Don Callis, cut a huge ass promo about, oh, look who's back, blah, blah, blah. He sucks at this and this. And then here comes, and he'll be out there with the entire Elite. Then instead of Hangman coming out, you're going to have Bryan Danielson come out, and he's going to start running his mouth about everything. And then here comes Adam Cole at him. And you're going to set up Adam Cole and him, or what I think is even a better play is you're going to set up a trios match at
Full
Gear
okay.
of Bucks and Cole versus Jurassic Express and Bryan Danielson. So you have all them, and you protect that singles match, the singles dream match.
I was just going to say, yeah, because you don't want to. I mean, we got that in WWE slightly, but that was a similar thing, I think, you know, where it was part of like a, wasn't that a Survivor Series or something? I don't remember, but.
I don't remember, yeah.
But yeah, you're right. That you want to protect.
Yeah, you want to protect that dream match of Cole, Bryan Danielson. You want to protect that. That's a dream match.
Absolutely.
And it's not ready yet, but you have them start at it, because that gives you Omega and Hangman for a while, because then you can have those two go, and then you circle back to Omega versus Bryan Danielson after Hangman's moved on, because he's got the belt and he's officially moved on. They'll have probably a few trading matches. Where the Dark Order fits into this, this is where
that's my question with your line of thought here, because it's suspiciously without any Dark Orderness.
So this is where I go with the Dark Order. The Dark Order, he's going to talk to him, and he's going to talk, you know, everything. And they are going to say thanks, but no thanks, because they're hurt. Okay?
Okay. They're going to turn him down.
They are going to turn him down. And there's going to be a moment sometime during this feud where everybody is taken out, the Elite got more people helping them, or something like that. Something happens, and they need help. The Dark Order will come and make the save. The Dark Order will be a part of everything again. They will accept Adam Hangman Page and bring him back into the fold, and he will become their leader at that point.
Before he gets the title?
after.
I was going to say, that's 5 weeks here. That's a very short turn to do a lot of that.
So they're going to build up these four there, and Adam's going to be like, hey, guys, come with me. Like, you know, and like, he needs to make things right with him. And he told him he's going to make things right. Like, he kind of laid the groundwork.
He said that in his whole, like,
find the words to say to some friends. He's like, I got to find the words to say to some friends.
Right.
And that's what it's going to be. Like, he's not going to push it. It's going to be on their time. And then he's going to do this thing. He's like, hey, I'm going to do this. You guys just keep doing your thing, whatever. You know, and there's going to be a little animosity to your point. But I really, truly believe he is going to win. Either that's the moment they come out, like right after he wins, they come out and celebrate with him. Or like the Wednesday after he gets handcuffed or something, and there's pummeling him, and they've handcuffed everybody else that's been a part of this whole thing. Like, no one can do anything, and the Dark Order has to make the save, and that's when everything comes together. I feel like that is the most logical thing, because then you segment it, because that keeps everybody in their lanes, and it keeps fluidity in what's going on.
Yeah, and here I look at that, and I think about it a little bit more, because they've broken off Omega on his own already several times over, and that's not a big deal. So I think you're 100% right on that. That definitely makes the most sense. I just think it gets, I don't know, because I get muddy with the whole Dark Order a bit. I know they've got to reconcile that. They've got to do it one way or another. They put too much groundwork in that as well. And with them now being all unified, it's got to come into a direction where it involves him. I think it has to, unless they're going to completely cut them out of it, which I think is the wrong thing.
I think they leave him alone, and then once he wins, well, that's
maybe
when
not right away.
Back.
But I'm just saying, though, that's what I'm getting at. That it's going to either be something of that nature, however we figured it out, one way or another.
Yeah,
that they are involved with this, and they're in the picture with this while he's going for and shortly after getting the title. Or they do the complete opposite, which is to completely turn it off, and then down the road, after he wins the title, whatever, then they come to pick him up. But I don't think that's the right thing to do. I really don't.
I don't either. I think I trust Tony Khan and the creative minds over there, because they have not let us down yet, because this has been the best long-term storytelling that I can remember, even with a three-month layoff for Hangman to have his child. Like, it's just like, boop, right back, you know, like 2 months or however long it was. But, you know, it's one of those things, like, it's kind of insane that, like, it's going to pick up right where it left off. I really believe that. And I'm looking forward to being the Elite to be able to tell more of the story of the Hangman Dark Order thing, because that's, you know, that's where it's going to happen. Most of it's going
to
happen there.
Well, you say that, but here's the crux I have to that. Because being the Elite, ever since I went back on the road, has become more like the old Being the Elite, which is a Young Bucks travel vlog.
Yeah.
The Dark Order segments are tiny. Any other additional segments are short, except for Nemeth's really weird fucking movies. I don't understand that shit at all. I fast forward through his stuff. I don't understand it. I'm sorry,
man. They used to be funny, and now I'm just like, I don't get it anymore.
Like the whole like screeching sounds and the poison lotion. I don't know.
It's cream. It's the cream.
Great. It's beyond me. All right.
Fair.
But there's very little Dark Order in it anymore, and that's the thing. And like we talked about earlier, really, Dark Order is the only one you can really consider canon. You know, Sammy's vlog a little bit, but all the other like AEW vlogs that are out there, you know, Ethan Page we talked about, you know, Allie or the Bunny, Evil Unos, they're all non kayfabe. Yeah. Okay, so you're not going to progress any story through that. BTE is really the only one that's canon, if you would, for the storylines here. And with it being the Buck-centric thing that it is now, I don't know if you're going to get a lot of Dark Order story on that. I hope that you do. I hope you're right. I really do. I just, it's one of those I gotta see it to believe it thing, because I mean, shit, the last episode, if you looked at it, it was 75% Young Bucks, them shopping, them shooting the shit, talking about their car getting broken into, and then both of the shows they were on, they showed basically most of the matches of each of their matches from Brandon Cutler's point of view, and then, so, I mean, that's what it mostly was. The Dark Order bit was literally like 15 seconds, right?
Yeah, which I feel like it's gonna, I hear what you're saying, but I really believe that on Mondays you're going to see a bigger Dark Order, because the old Dark Orders were short and they got longer and longer and longer, and they, and it basically being the Elite basically became the Dark Order show because they were so over and they got fired, remember?
Right.
And I feel like it could happen again. Like I feel like it, if we've learned anything about the Bucks, they are not dumb, and I love that about them. So,
good point.
I think it makes a lot of sense. We'll find out Monday, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't watch Being the Elite, do yourself a favor. Go do that. You should like and subscribe it, just like you should like and subscribe to us, like you might already be doing. You know, again, that like button, go ahead and put it in a lion tamer, if you will, and just make it submit to your will.
Make it submit to your will. All right. And while you're down there, you tell us. How would you fantasy book this? We're back on Fantasy Booking Island. It's a different kind of island. It's not the Impossible Game Island. It's a totally different island, right? How would you fantasy book this with Hangman, Omega, the Elite, Danielson, Dark Order, Bullet Club? I mean, we can bring the Bullet Club in, just make it a shit show. Let's go. I don't know. Give us a comment down below or give us a tweet at Total Spot Fest. Let us know how you would fantasy book this. We could probably do this for hours, but we're not going to. So next week is going to be an odd one. Next 2 weeks are going to be odd. Not for me, because the NHL returns on Wednesday.
Yes, it sure does.
That means that for the next 2 weeks, there's going to be no Dynamite on Wednesday, though. So
that is true.
We haven't talked about this ahead of time here, Jamie. What are your thoughts? How about we still have our typical shows?
Yeah.
We'll do a Tuesday and a Thursday. So basically, Tuesday show is going to be all sorts of AEW-ness is what we're going to be doing. Okay, so we're going to cover the Rampage and the Dynamite from the weekend. And then Thursday show is going to be a wrestling roundabout. We might rope in some things. I know we were talking, we do have next Tuesday, since this there won't be a weekend Dynamite. Next Tuesday, we have our interview being released with the Howlitz. Please give that a listen. Our favorite local heel tag team. Maybe our favorite heel tag team of all time. Hashtag heel shit. Go buy your shirt. TotalSpotFest.com. So we're releasing this coming Tuesday, that interview. And we'll talk about, you know, Rampage, whatever happens this Friday. And then next Thursday will be more of a wrestling roundabout. We'll talk about what's going on in Impact. Remember, we got a build-up for Bound for Glory coming up here. We got to get that all set up. And other happenings around the wrestling world. So the next couple weeks, AEW Talk's going to shift to Tuesday primarily. And then the other stuff will be on our Thursday our edition. So be on the lookout.
Absolutely.
That's what I got. You got anything else, man?
I'm so glad Adam's back. Adam Hangman Page is back, and it just makes my heart happy. It really
does. It's so good. It was like a, like when I heard that, when I saw I saw the yellow of his, and I'm like, it right? was an exhale. It really was, because it's like, I wasn't as adamant as you. If it had been somebody else, I could have been like, okay, well, let's see how it is and how this plays in. But it had to be Hangman. I'm so glad it
was. Yeah, it had to be, and it was. And he is the prince that was promised.
Here you go again. Did you see the new Game of Thrones prequel?
That's why I did that. Because
yes. Yes. That looks amazeballs. All right, we're getting off topic. That's Sorry. All we got for tonight. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Like you said, if you're here on YouTube, give a like and give a comment down below. Tell us how you'd fancy book Dark Order and the Elite. Subscribe if you want to hear more. Give us a shout on Twitter at Total Spot Fest. It is TotalSpotFest.com. Go visit the merch table if you want to get yourself a Howlitz-inspired heel shirt. We also do have a black wrestling t-shirt on there, too. As much as shit as we talked about it, we do have one. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go look at it. I think it's hilarious. But yes, that's what we got. We'll be back on Tuesday with our interview with the Howlets, as well as what's been going on in Rampage and other things over the weekend. So thank you. We will see you then. Jamie, why don't you take us home?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not down with Total Spot Fest, I got two words for you. Cowboy shit.
I really thought you were going to do Hangman's Back, but hey, still.
It's the same thing.
It's better. You did better. All right, guys. Thanks. Thank you. We'll see you next time.
Peace.